Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
This Day in History class is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello and welcome to This Day in History class, a show that believes there's no time like the present to learn about the past. I'm Gabe Lussier, and today, we're talking about the time when an Irish gunman tried to kill a British royal in eastern Australia, only to be foiled by a pair of thick suspenders. The day was March 12, 1868. Prince Alfred of Edinburgh survived an attempt on his life during a visit to Sydney, Australia. The would-be assassin was one Henry James O'Farrell, a native of Dublin, Ireland, who had moved to Australia with his family in 1841 when he was just 8 years old. The family prospered for a time, but then O'Farrell's father passed away unexpectedly, leaving his young children with nothing. O'Farrell's brother, Peter, did quite well for himself, becoming one of the top solicitors in Melbourne. O'Farrell, on the other hand, barely scraped by as a sheep farmer. He found better success as a grain merchant, working in partnership with his cousin Joseph Kennedy. But in 1864, Kennedy died from symptoms related to alcohol withdrawal, and the grain business floundered after his passing. To make matters worse, Peter O'Farrell was discredited in a libel suit that same year and fled from Melbourne in shame. Shaken by these family misfortunes, O'Farrell took to drinking and quickly fell into debt. In January of 1867, he suffered a serious mental breakdown, ranting about plots to poison him and brandishing a pair of pistols in the street. He was picked up by police and taken to a local asylum, but was later released into the care of two of his sisters. O'Farrell spent most of the year in and out of various hotels and asylums, drinking heavily and suffering epileptic fits in between. By September, he had taken up residence in the seaside suburb of Clontarf, just north of Sydney. He paid his way with funds sent by his sisters, but was sometimes kicked out of hotels anyway due to his increasingly strange behavior. Having perhaps never fully recovered from his first mental break, O'Farrell was given to angry outbursts. He also became visibly agitated whenever someone mentioned the Irish nationalist group, the Fenians. It's unclear when exactly O'Farrell hatched his plan to assassinate the Duke of Edinburgh, but settling in Clontarf certainly gave him the perfect opportunity. The suburb's pleasure grounds were set to host a charity event for the benefit of the Sydney Sailors' Home, and the 23-year-old British prince had agreed to be the guest of honor. Alfred wasn't the most esteemed member of the British royal family. As the fourth child and second eldest son of Queen Victoria, he was sometimes mockingly referred to as the spare to the heir. Still, his goodwill tour of the British colonies was closely followed by the public, especially since his trip to Australia marked the first time that a British royal family member had ever visited the continent. Clontarf buzzed with excitement ahead of the prince's arrival, and at some point during the lead-up, Henry James O'Farrell decided to make an appearance himself. The day before the event, O'Farrell went to nearby Waverley to practice his pistol shooting. Then, on the morning of March 12, 1868, he set out from the Clarendon Hotel on his way to the sailors' picnic. He pushed his way through the large crowd and found a good hiding spot behind some trees. Then, when Prince Alfred went to greet the band, O'Farrell emerged, drew his revolver, and shot the prince in the back as he walked past. Alfred reportedly cried out, "Good God, my back is broken!" At which point O'Farrell fired again, but missed. The second bullet struck the foot of bystander George Thorns, and although he fainted on the spot, he later made a full recovery. O'Farrell tried to escape amidst the confusion, but the crowd was on him within moments. He was promptly beaten to a pulp and was just about to be lynched before the police managed to wrench him free and take him into custody. At first, the gunman claimed that he shot the prince on the orders of the Melbourne Fenians, but after the movement strongly denied those claims, O'Farrell admitted he had acted alone. In a bid for clemency, he explained his motive, saying, quote, "From continually thinking and talking of the wrongs of Ireland, I became excited and filled with enthusiasm for the subject, and it was then, under the influence of those feelings, that I attempted to perpetrate the deed for which I am now justly called upon to suffer." His trial began on March 30th and ended just 2 days later with a guilty verdict and a death sentence. Prince Alfred, who had survived the attack, tried to negotiate for a more lenient sentence, arguing that O'Farrell's mental instability was well known and that he shouldn't be held fully responsible for his actions. That royal plea, admirable though it was, ultimately went unanswered. Henry James O'Farrell was hanged on April 21st at the age of 35. Although he had acted as a lone wolf, O'Farrell's deed would have lasting repercussions on the Irish settlers in New South Wales. There was already tension between the Irish Catholics and the dominant British Protestants, and the assassination attempt only fanned the flames. Even though no ties were ever proven between O'Farrell and the Fenians, there was still an outpouring of religious prejudice and racism towards Irish Catholics. Many public meetings were held around the country to discuss the events, and within 1 week of the shooting, there were daily indignation meetings calling for the passage of anti-Irish legislation. The movement spurred by O'Farrell's actions lasted for years and led many Australians to question the loyalty of Irish Catholics, even though Parliament's repeated attempts to uncover a deeper conspiracy came up empty-handed. As for Prince Alfred, he had caught a lucky break thanks to his leather suspenders, or braces. The thick straps had absorbed most of the bullet's momentum, causing it to glance off his ribs and leaving him with little more than a flesh wound. Nonetheless, the prince spent 2 weeks at Sydney Hospital in the care of nurses trained by Florence Nightingale, including the newly arrived Lady Superintendent, Lucy Osborne. The prince was so grateful to the nurses and surgeons who attended him that he later gave his name to a new Sydney hospital founded in the aftermath of the shooting. Today, the Royal Prince Alfred Hospital is the largest health center in New South Wales and the most advanced teaching hospital in all of Australia. So while it's not exactly a happy ending, at least something good came from all of it. I'm Gabe Lousier, and hopefully, you now know a little more about history today than you did yesterday. If you'd like to keep up with the show, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at TDIHCShow. And if you have any comments or suggestions, feel free to send them my way by writing to thisday@iheartmedia.com. Thanks to Casby Bias for producing the show, and thanks to you for listening. I'll see you back here again tomorrow for another day in history class.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.